There he is.
I think he gave a little pat.
Gives the back window a smack.
Yeah.
For all those supporters out there and all you haters, I see you.
He won in Atlanta. Then he won in Las Vegas. And last Sunday, he did it again. Kevin Harvick took his Jimmy John's Ford, which is freaky fast, back to Victory Lane. And this Sunday, he'll try and do it again out in Fontana, California. He'll try to make it four wins in a row. Only eight drivers in the modern era of NASCAR has ever done that. Hi, everybody, and welcome to Lambo on Sports, my podcast here on WBAP, where we cover any number of topics. Most of the time, it's sports-related, obviously, since that's what I've been doing for the last 32 years on this radio station, talking about sports. And on the morning show, my time is limited, but not in this space. Here I'm allowed to go into detail about the stories trending in sports. And for the next few weeks, most of the podcast will be about the NCAA basketball tournament, which gets going today with games scattered all over the country, including right here in Dallas. But less than a month from now, you'll be able to see Kevin Harvick in person. You'll be able to see him race at Texas Motor Speedway in the O'Reilly Auto Parts 500. See if this 42-year-old from California can keep it up. And man, he's on a roll right now.
Off turn four, Happy Harvick gets his 40th career win. And his ninth at Phoenix.
How about that, boys? That's how you rebound and just show them how it is right there. Awesome job. History making right there. You're the man. Awesome job, guys.
And Kevin Harvick is the first driver to win three in a row over the age of 40 since Harry Gant in 1991.
How about that? Mike joined the crew on Fox TV in the race last week, the Ticket Guardian 500 at IMS Raceway. They should have changed the name to the Stewart Haas race, where Kevin Harvick was first, Clint Bowyer sixth, Eric Almirola seventh, and Kurt Busch tenth. All four of those guys from Stewart Haas Racing were former NASCAR champ Tony Stewart. Couldn't be happier with the way the season has started.
You know, I think every week this year, like Kevin mentioned, I mean, it just shows the strength of having four really good teammates that are given four valid sets of information that they can all feed off of and work off of. And it just seems like this group of these guys, you know, really work well together. And, you know, and I think a lot of it, too, is, you know, having that little extra time, like we mentioned last week, for these guys to be able to massage on everything and take the things that we already had and make it better. But it is nice to it's nice to sit there and look on the board and see all four cars in the top 10 for sure. That's a proud moment.
Stewart did say they won't be appealing the penalty handed down by NASCAR to Kevin Harvick's team for an infraction in Las Vegas for two violations found during the teardown of that number four Ford when he won in Vegas, dealing with the rear window support and some rocker panel extensions that weren't aluminum. Plus, the crew chief, Rodney Childers, was fined $50,000. But somehow, some way, Harvick was able to focus on last Sunday's race and didn't let all that other stuff bother him. And you don't want to get Harvick upset to listen to former drivers Dale Earnhardt Jr. and Jeff Burton on NBC Sports NASCAR America.
You could reel off some stats to say that, you know, that's his third in a row. It's the first since Joey Logano back in 2015. All of that means a lot. But what meant the most to you? What were you most impressed with that victory?
I think the way that he handled the whole weekend. You know, he didn't dodge the media. He went to the media center. He spent time in front of the camera before the race. Just really kind of handled that situation better than I think a lot of drivers would have. And they were, you know, he's really, really good at that racetrack. He came in there with a ton of confidence and knew they were going to be a car to contend with.
Jeff, you were his teammate at Richard Childress Racing. So you've got some excellent insight. Combined, when you see Kelly's interview, he was certainly more calm and more subdued. Race broadcast interview, he was still pretty fired up. Is he one of the worst drivers you could have when he is annoyed about something, when he's got a point to prove?
Yeah. You know, listen, when you back Kevin Harvick into a corner, he's going to come out swinging. And you know, he's a fighter. I think that he relishes, you know, that opportunity to prove he and his team are better than you. I think that when the chips are down and people give up on Kevin Harvick, I think that's actually when he's his best. And you know, everybody talks about Phoenix, like Kevin Harvick's been just completely dominant there, and he has. But if you go back and look at the three previous races to this one, he didn't have that dominance. So they found a way through adversity, through the offseason, all the stuff that's been going on, they found a way to get that speed back. Now, he didn't have dominating speed like we've seen in the past, but as Steve just said, they willed themselves to a win. They had a really, really good race car. It appeared to me the 18 may have been a little better, but They found a way. They as a team did everything they needed to do. And when you are down and when people are saying you only won because you cheated, you know, you haven't been very good, and then you go and you take that win from people, and that's what they did. They took that win. That just adds more confidence to a team that already deserves and has a lot of confidence. This win is bigger than points. It's bigger than, you know, all those things that will help him in the playoffs. This gives this team something to rally around, and I don't think you want to give Kevin Harvick very much to rally around, because he will pound you in the ground.
Former NASCAR drivers turned analysts Jeff Burton and Dale Earnhardt Jr. on NBC Sports NASCAR America. Harvick has only been the NASCAR Monster Energy Series champion once. That was back in 2014. But the way he's driving now, he could be the driver to beat by the time we get around to that last race of the season in November at Homestead Miami Speedway. There's a long, long way to go, but he likes where he's at right now.
Well, in his 40th career cup win, Kevin Harvick has a first, your first ever three-peat. Where does this stack up with all the accomplishments in your career?
Yeah, you know, that's a great accomplishment. And, you know, it's hard to win one race, let alone three in a row. And you know, winning it this week feels better than it probably did at Homestead, just because of everything that happened last week and just the message that it sends to everybody that we're not going to cower down. We're not going to quit. It's not about a window or a side skirt. It's about a great race team and fast race cars and guys that have done a great job and been together for 5 years. And this is a team sport. And, you know, these guys know every nook and cranny of that race car, and we've been working hard to make our stuff better. So it's fun to come here. This was not our best performances last year at Phoenix, and for us switching to Ford, we didn't really know why, and they went to work over the winter to try to make it better and came back this weekend with a really fast race car. So just really proud of everybody on my team, and man, it feels really good.
You talked about coming back here with this group of guys after the penalties of last week. What does it say? You lose one of your team leaders in Cheddar. What does it say to come here and put a performance like this together?
Well, the good news is we have some depth at the race shop. Nick came and did a great job car chiefing this weekend. He's done that in the past, and I know Cheddar wanted to be here and does a great job, but this is all about a team, and you know, for I think you've heard me say this before, I get more gratification out of seeing these guys smile and in moments like this to be able to do the things that we did today. I mean, those are just things that you know, the message and the things that you send a week after all the controversy, and to respond with a win says a lot about the character of this team.
It was a good day for Stewart Haas Racing all around, all four cars finishing in the top 10 for the first time ever for the organization. That's now, what's great. It like to have that performance across the board?
You know, yesterday was this has really been an interesting weekend for me because, you know, myself and Clint, we don't have our motorhomes here. Eric is new to the team, and he's always around. And we got to spend a lot of time together just in our trailers, outside of our trailer. Spent, you know, a little bit of time with Eric yesterday, and he's just a hard worker. So it's elevated that 10 car so much from a performance side of things to make it relevant in our organization. It was irrelevant for the last several years that I've been at Stewart Racing because it didn't perform, and to see Eric performing and you know, I know what their goals are, and so I know that they're in front of that. And I told him last night, I said, dude, you have a top five car, so go out and make it happen. So he's doing a great job, and it was fun to see all the cars running good, and I didn't know that until you just told me. To have all four in the top 10 is a great accomplishment for us, because that just makes us better.
Finally, we close out that West Coast swing next week in Fontana. I'm headed back to my hometown of Vegas. How do you like your chances of going one more, four in a row?
Yeah, well, I'm going to go to Bakersfield first, so we're going to go run the K&N West race. That'll be on NBC Sports, you know, and run that Thursday night. But I've been looking forward to California, and I think of that place a lot like Atlanta. I think that's a racetrack, you know, to where last year I wrecked before we even got the green flag and knocked the nose off the car and never really got to show what we had. So I'm looking forward to driving these cars out there this year. It should be fun.
Kevin Harvick, where if he wins on Sunday, if he wins his fourth race of the season, would accomplish something that hasn't been done since 2007, back when Jimmy Johnson did it, winning at Martinsville, Atlanta, Texas, and Phoenix. Johnson and his Hendrick Motorsports teammates are really struggling right now, and it might be a while before they start to put it all together. I do know you don't want to miss the race in Texas, where we found out yesterday who the headliner is for the Loud and Proud pre-race show before they drop the green flag.
We've seen some good times, been through some bad, but somewhere between the laughter and the tears, we sure had a lot of great years. I said we didn't need fortune.
That's Bret Michaels, of course, renowned as the lead singer for the metal band Poison. You can see him live next month at the O'Reilly Auto Parts 500, where fans can get a mosh pit pass for $79, which will allow you stage-side access for the concert, along with those cup driver introductions. Just go to TexasMotorSpeedway.com to get your tickets today. That's TexasMotorSpeedway.com, or you can call the Speedway ticket office at 817-215-8500. That's 817-215-8500. If you've never seen a NASCAR race in person, you're missing out. Finally, I'm wondering here how many guys will be getting a vasectomy this weekend. Or like they say during March Madness, it's hip to get snipped. Those nets on the basketball court aren't the only thing getting cut this time of the year. I'm not making this stuff up. I'll give you more details on the next podcast, where it's really hard to stay current with the NCAA tournament underway. It quickly goes from the 64 teams down to the Sweet 16, the Elite Eight, and then the Final Four. Hoops, hockey, fast cars, the boys of summer, winners and losers, and NFL free agency. There's plenty to talk about on my next Lambeau on Sports. Don't forget, you can always tweet me at LambeauWBAP. Or you can catch me live in the mornings between 5 and 9 a.m. Until the next time, I'm Steve Lamb, WBAP Sports.